track 12, and now we come to our feature articles. We have a couple of feature items for you this week. First, we have Brian interviewing the Newton Abbott Town Mayor, Councillor Alex Hall. This is immediately followed by a couple of short extracts from the latest Devon Insight magazine, read as always by the Chief Executive, Graham Flynn. We know that some of you received this in your own right, but there are often items of wider interest. This time we've picked out a piece about Great Western Railway's passenger assist facilities, followed by details of Insight's autumn programme of telephone seminars. These two items last for only a few minutes.
Today I'm at Newton's Place, the home of the Town Museum and of Newton Abbott Town Council, and I'm talking to the town's fairly new Mayor, Councillor Alex Hall, the youngest person ever to have been appointed to this position. Thank you, Alex, may call you that, for taking time to talk to us today. For starters, can you remind us what the role of the Town Mayor is?
So I see it as the ambassador for Newton Abbott when I go out and represent the Town Council on events. So I always do my best to big up Newton Abbott whenever I get, and I'm the impartial chair of the full council meetings.
I mean, obviously you have a political background, you belong to a local political party. How can you be impartial in your chairmanship?
Sometimes it can be difficult, but it's more just letting each councillor, no matter what party you are, to have your say. I find it hard to not give an opinion myself some of the times, but it's quite weird to explain. But when the chain goes on, you do feel a sense of impartiality, I suppose. It's an odd feeling, but yeah.
Okay. How do you get to be mayor? Do you have to have particular qualifications to be mayor?
No, I suppose you just really have to be liked by the councillors and obviously elected to the town council. I got picked by the town councillors to be the mayor.
So the mayor is an unpaid position, an elected, appointed position chosen by the other councillors. Presumably you have something else to keep you going during the week.
Yeah, I do. So I work for a children's clothing shop down in Babbicombe.
Oh, right.
I'm on the district as well, so that fills my district council, so that fills my time quite a bit as well.
So how much time does the your local politics take up?
I would say quite a good deal, because I'm not one of these people that you can just sit back. I do need to be always doing, you know, an email or researching or reading the papers for the next meeting. So it does take up a great deal, but I'm very lucky. I've got a very understanding boss.
I think that's probably essential, isn't it?
Yeah.
Particularly at your age. Before we go any further, can you tell us a bit about your background? Are you actually a local person?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Newton Abbott. I actually used to live, I think it's that way, Jubilee Road. So it's the street next to where Newton's Place is now. But I moved out to Aller Park in 2019. Mm-hmm. So I've always lived in Newton Abbott, and if I'm lucky, I always will live in Newton Abbott.
Right.
It's home. All my family come from Newton Abbott. I think the furthest origins we've got is my great-great-granddad was born in Taunton, I think.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, I'm very, very lucky to call Newton Abbott my home.
What are the main things that you do as a mayor? I mean, you said your role is to be an ambassador. How do you fulfil your role?
I go out to events where I'm invited. So tomorrow I've got Ipplepen Carnival where they've invited me to go along. So I will go along wearing the chain and just mingle, you know, chat to everyone. Like I said before, I always try to make sure Newton Abbott's heard at these events, that people know that we're here. I mean, it's hard for people not to know we're here. We're the largest town in Teignbridge.
I guess the summer is fairly busy with carnivals, is it not?
From what I've heard from previous mayors, it used to be. But a lot of them have folded now, so there's not as many. So,
because of costs and
lack
insurance, of volunteers.
Yeah.
Insurance, yes. You've got a year in your appointment as mayor. You're already almost a third of the way through, aren't you? What do you think are going to be the most challenging things for you to face up to as mayor?
I think this is where a little bit of the politics may get into it, is when I have to smile to cut the ribbon to open Queen Street, I think is going to be the biggest challenge. But I think it's just trying to maintain a level of decorum at meetings, I think, because there's some quite strong personalities.
I think that's a fair comment. I mean, let's not shy away from Queen Street. It is a controversial development, and obviously we know there's been a lot of opposition to it as well. Does the town council have a view on the development?
Yes, so we had an extraordinary general meeting, I think it was last, may have been this February actually, I can't quite remember the date, where the town council voted to write a letter to the district and the county council asking them to stop the scheme. So we do have an opinion and we are very much against it.
So as you say, you will be biting your tongue, yes, or something when, yeah, you have to cut the ribbon. So that's going to be one of the more challenging things you have to face up to. Anything else particularly?
I think it's just the impartiality at the meetings, I think, is, yeah, is, I think I do it well. I've not had any complaints, but I do find it quite difficult just to take the step back because I'd just like to be involved in the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, forgive me for mentioning it, but you are quite young. Have you had any problems about reverse ageism, as it were, people not respecting you because of your age?
No, I must admit, when I first got elected to the council, I did think it would be a bit of a issue because you hear all the, you hear a lot about councils or councillors being this certain type of character, but I've found the complete opposite. When I got elected, I was welcomed with open arms, my ideas were heard equally, you know, even if it was a terrible idea, it was still heard. I haven't found that on the town council. It's really been quite a pleasure.
That's good. It's obviously a steep learning curve as far as you're concerned. What do you think then the most enjoyable thing you do as mayor?
I think it's going to the events and meeting, because you get to meet all sorts of different groups within Newton Abbot that you never quite knew was there.
Like the talking newspaper.
Like the talking newspaper. So I'd say it's that. There was the Rotary Fund, Rotary Party in the Park a couple Saturdays ago, and they had all these different charity stalls, and it's just, you never really know what's going on in the town until you're boots on the ground, really.
Yeah. I mean, what attracted you to politics in the first place?
Well, I, from a very young age, it was always, so when I was 9 years old, it was the 2010 general election that really got me interested, because I saw it on the news, I had no clue what was going on, I didn't know what a coalition government was, so I just did some research and then it sort of spiralled from there.
Right. What subjects did you take at school?
So for A level I did sociology and government and politics.
Okay, so yeah, that all ties together.
Yeah.
What motivates you to, in your job, not your paid job, but in your mayoral job?
For me, it's always been the knowledge that in the position I am, councillor, mayor, district councillor, I've got the power to make a positive change in people's life. It's really, that's the one thing that keeps me going, even when, you know, you can get really dragged into the dogma of it all.
Yes.
It's that I'm here to make a change in people's life.
So what powers do you have, or does the council have, the town council have, to make changes that can improve people's lives?
So we do cover a great deal of things. We don't have, say, the power of the district or the county council, but our powers are different, but they're just as important. So we cover the allotments, we're a consultee on planning, so we'll always feed back to the district council about planning applications in the town. We've got a great town development manager that always champions Newton Abbot. So we do have some powers, but not a great deal. Well, I suppose we do have a great deal, and I think it's going to become more and more as government cuts funding to county and district, the town council, who don't have a cap on how much you can put up your precept, so council tax each year. I think more and more fall to us, so we've already taken on a lot of the street cleaning in the town because people are fed up of it not being done, so we said, we'll do it. And I think that's the attitude the town council's got, and I think with that we can achieve anything we set out to do, really.
Okay. I mean, you get the impression sometimes, but quite a lot of the time, that if the town council objects to something that's going on in the district doesn't listen. Is that a fair comment?
I would say so, yeah. So I do think Queen Street, the theatre, there was all these sort of controversial things coming up, and the town council did give an opinion, and it was sort of done to us rather than with us.
Mm.
So sometimes it can be frustrating, and sometimes we go unheard, but I think that's just politics.
Yeah. I mean, local politics has a bit of a bad name, perhaps. Is that a fair comment?
What do you mean, sorry?
Because local councillors aren't seen as having the powers to do anything or indeed themselves to listen.
I think that's slightly true, but I do think there is a role for local government, and I think the councillors, you know, they always do, no matter, because I'm obviously Savile Dem Alliance, but I found even with the Lib Dems, the Conservatives and the Independents, there is always a need and a want to get on and do the job. And I think even if you disagree, I always do feel listened to. And I think I would hope that the public feel listened to by their councillors. I always do and try and, you know, if someone comes to me with a problem, I listen, I try and sort it.
I've sat in on one or two council meetings, and I have to say that I've been impressed by the commitment of all those present, who, although they may sometimes express themselves more strongly than I would, they are passionate about what they represent. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, I think there's always passion involved.
I mean, moving away from the job, what do you do in your spare time to relax?
Probably the little spare time I do get. I do enjoy visiting a few of the pubs in Newton Abbot with my family. I love going to see live music, just that sort of stuff.
What sort of live music?
I mean, the best band I've ever seen live with the Rolling Stones. Quite like the 60s, 70s music, really.
Well, you're talking my language now.
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular that excites you about the future of Newton Abbot? You've mentioned one or two things, but I mean, do you see a rosy future for Newton Abbot in these difficult times?
I do. I always think you've got to try and maintain a positive attitude. And I do think the future of Newton Abbot is going to be a bright one. I think there's a lot on the horizon with the market and actually moving the market forward to becoming a market again, because it's a bit of a dire strait at the minute. I think there's a lot on the horizon that the town council would like to get involved with, that I think if we're involved with would be a great help in actually shaping a happier Newton Abbot.
Yeah. Do you expect to stay in local politics, or do you have any ambitions to go higher?
I've always been ambitious. From a young age, I know I've always wanted to be a Member of Parliament. So that is something that I'd like to do. But for the minute, I'm very, very much happy in local government.
I look forward to talking to you when you're an MP.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
For our July Sight Loss speaker event, we were delighted to welcome Robin Owen, Accessibility Mentor, Great Western Railway, as our guest speaker. Great Western Railway, GWR, offers a range of services to make the railway more accessible for individuals and groups by increasing their confidence in rail travel. Robin gave an overview of all the services that GWR offer, including the Passenger Assist system. Passenger Assist is a national system used by all train companies, which allows them to make the necessary arrangements for your journey. How it works. If you have a disability, non-visible disability, or are elderly, you can pre-book journey assistance. GWR can make sure you get the help you need for your journey and will arrange everything, including changes and connections that involve other rail companies. How to book Passenger Assist. You just need to let GWR know at least 2 hours before your journey. Their Passenger Assist team is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, excluding the 25th and 26th of December. The best way to book assistance by calling the Passenger Assist team free on 0800 197 1329. You can purchase travel tickets when you call to book assistance, including cheaper advance fares where available, all within a single transaction. For those with a smartphone, you can also use the Passenger Assistance app by TransReport. So that's the Passenger Assistance app by TransReport. Now, for more information about Passenger Assist, the telephone number for GWR is 0800 197 1329. There's also a lot of information on the GWR website. And if you just put in Passenger Assist, you can find it. Speaker Seminars Summer 2024. In fact, that should say Autumn 2024. Anyway, Devon Insights telephone-based sight loss seminars are an opportunity for you to hear from our partners across the health and social care, third sectors, and others in the comfort of your own home. Sight loss speaker seminars take place every second Tuesday of the month at 10:30 a.m. on free phone number 0808 169 7930. I'll give that number again in a minute. Calls from your home telephone or mobile are free. Firstly, please note that there will be no speaker event on Tuesday the 10th of September as we will be hosting the Devon Sight Loss Conference. So the next one is on Tuesday the 8th of October 2024. What is glaucoma and how can Glaucoma UK support you? Glaucoma is a group of eye disorders in which abnormally increased pressure of the fluid of the eye damages the optic nerve, resulting in visual impairment. Glaucoma UK provides advice and support to individuals with glaucoma. So our guest speaker is Conchita Alanda Font, Training and Engagement Officer from Glaucoma UK. So that event is on Tuesday the 8th of October. On Tuesday the 12th of November, introducing RNIB services. Our guest speaker will be George Hinton, the Community Coordinator for RNIB. The Royal National Institute of Blind People is a national charity that offers information, support and advice to people in the UK with sight loss. Finally, Tuesday the 10th of December 2024, Assistive Technology Update. We have a unique partnership with Sight and Sound Technology. Our guest speakers are Stephanie Davis and Tony Shrub. They're both from Sight and Sound, and you may have met them at our community events. So that's Assistive Technology Update on Tuesday the 10th of December. So to access our telephone speaker events, please dial the following telephone number. 0808 169 7930. 0808 169 7930, and calls from your home telephone and mobile and free. So those dates again, 8th of October, 12th of November and 10th of December.